Okay, Dan, I want to start at the very beginning. You know, I want to start with your first book, The Back of the Napkin. And basically, because I have it here, I've been reading it, very much enjoying it. Thank you very much. But our group is really creative, and you've got this great book about solving problems and selling ideas with pictures. Please explain why you wrote this book and why is this important to everyone?
Well, I like to break down the whole notion of solving problems with pictures into three essential questions. And I do this because people often ask me, what is this exactly about? Well, I do believe fundamentally that given the range of problems that we face, whether individually or as a society or politically, we can solve our problems with pictures. And again, the three questions are, okay, so if that's true, which problems are we talking about? Which pictures are we talking about? And then the third, probably most important question is, which people are we talking about? You know, namely, who's going to do this? Because a lot of people will say, Dan, that all sounds fine, but, you know, I can't draw. So taking it from the top, I fundamentally believe which problems we can solve with a picture. Well, any problem. I mean, any problem that we have the ability to articulate at all, we have the ability to articulate abundantly more clearly through the use of simple pictures. Which brings us to question number two, which pictures are we talking about? I mean, if these pictures are going to help us solve any problem we can conceive of, I mean, they must be really sophisticated pictures, right? I mean, they must require very sophisticated, expensive computer software, years of training, artistic talent. Well, of course, the answer, Stephen, is no. I mean, the pictures that we're talking about are boneheadedly simple. I mean, literally, if we can draw a circle and a square and an arrow that connects them and maybe a stick figure off to the side, we can draw a picture of almost anything we can conceive of, which answers that third question, who's going to do this? Well, we are all going to do this. I mean, whether someone thinks that they're visual or not, we are fundamentally visual, and anybody has the ability to put into very simple pictures what it is that they're seeing in their mind's eye. And that's how we're going to go about doing this.
Well, Dan, is it hard for people? You know, we work with a lot of creative people. You know, we help inventors and industrial designers, and they're pretty creative. How about people that aren't creative? How about people that just don't draw? Can those simple pictures, can you help them with that? I mean, how do you break through with the people like that feel like,
absolutely,
hey, I
Well, in fact, I'd never intended the book to be for the audience of people that you're referring to as creative, the people who draw. I happen to think that everybody's extraordinarily creative, whether they draw or not. But
okay,
Architects, industrial designers, people who draw right from the beginning are not really who my book was intended for, because those are people that, for the most part, in my mind, always got the idea that, you know,
okay,
I have a thought in mind. If I take a piece of paper and sketch it out really quickly, it'll help me clarify what I'm thinking, and above all, it'll then have a little picture that I can show to someone else. So I really aimed the book more at, let's just call it the business crowd, people who maybe come from a business background, people who are more project management, people from the legal side, people from politics, essentially anyone who's not an architect, a designer, or an engineer, because these are the people who don't draw. And
right,
kind of the story behind all of this was, you know, my background was as a designer. I was a graphic designer, so it made sense that in meetings I would draw all the time because, as you pointed out, designers draw. But through this weird, circuitous series of events, I ended up becoming a management consultant. But I kept drawing. So all of a sudden I was weird because I'm the person in the boardroom or in the conference room who is drawing pictures of what everybody else is talking about. And what would happen is, every single time someone would say something that would trigger something in my mind, I'd go to the whiteboard and pull out a sheet of paper and say, wait a minute, is this what I just heard you say? And I'd draw, you know, some circles and things like that. And what would happen, it was as if some kind of magic suddenly took place in the room. The fact that I was drawing what people were talking about suddenly made people's level of understanding and participation just go through the roof. And all of a sudden, people would stop with the political arguments and kind of the name-calling and the finger-pointing and who's at fault, and all of a sudden start focusing on the problem because now we could really see it. And I did this enough times to where some consultants that I worked with said, Dan, there's something that you do in these meetings that is powerful and unusual. You have to write a book about it. And, you know, the rest, as they say, is history. But it's interesting because, Stephen, you know, it's really remarkable. I've spent a lot of time working with financial analysts now, project managers, strategists from some of the big corporations and political organizations. These people are extraordinarily creative. But what's happened is no one ever told them that it was okay to think with simple pictures and drawing, something that all of us knew how to do when we were in kindergarten. But once you get beyond age 7, most people are never encouraged to develop that. And so all I do is kind of kick back in this innate visual thinking gene. And sure, it's remarkable how much it helps.
Well, Dan, you know what I really like about it is that you break down the process of imagining or solving or looking at something differently. And we talk about that. We play these games on how to be creative. We ask what if or mix and match. We do all this and we talk about this. But I love the way you have broken it down to look at any situation, and you're doing it a little bit differently. That's why I think this is fascinating, and especially for people that are even creative, to look at your tools that you're offering. Because we look at it as you're providing tools for people to think differently, to look differently, to use their eyes to see. And that's my next question is those tools, but also this the how to really see something. Because I liked when you were talking about just active looking, but really seeing. Can you talk a little bit about that, Dan?
Yeah, well, Stephen, it's interesting that you brought up this notion of the process, because going back to the previous discussion we were having, knowing that my intended audience was a business audience as opposed to, say, a designer audience, at least that's what I thought going into it.
Okay.
I thought it's going to be really important that I not be squishy and fluffy about any of this. There has to be a process behind it, because I know that the first thing that my intended audience is going to react badly to is yet another designer kind of coming in and waving their arms and saying, hey, if you just think more creatively, it'll all be lovely. You know, maybe, but I'm not going to buy that if I'm a sort of a financial analyst who's been trained to be exceptionally rigorous in my analysis of a problem. So I thought there must be a process behind what I'm doing when I'm drawing these pictures. And I spent years on my own and working with other people kind of break down what it was that we thought we were doing when we started to create pictures of problems. And the process broke down into four very simple steps. And the first one is, well, we get really good at looking at the stuff in front of us, looking at the problem or looking at the data or looking at the situation. After we've looked at it, then step number two is we have to learn how to see it more clearly. And I like to make the distinction there. Looking in this model is really a kind of a almost passive process of just scanning the environment, making sure that we've taken in everything that's in front of us. Seeing is a very active process where we're actually trying to recognize patterns in all of that stuff that we looked at. The third step then, once we've got it all in mind, once we've seen what the patterns are, is we now imagine. And what I mean is we take the patterns into our mind's eye and roll them around and turn them upside down and shake them and see what falls out and try to imagine what those patterns might look like if we manipulated them in different ways. And then once we've discovered something really interesting in our imagination, the fourth step is we then show it. So summarize, we look, we see, we imagine, and then we show. And the thing that I realized, and this goes back to your original question, is that by taking what is a kind of an innate, fuzzy, creative process for many types of people and putting it into a step-by-step format, what suddenly happened is my unintended audience of designers and architects and engineers and people who do draw suddenly said, wait a minute, this looks like a really powerful way to cross over from what we do and the business people don't understand to explain to them what we're doing already in a way they'll get. And all of a sudden we find, again, unintended consequences. The audience that I never intended the book for, the designers and the, you know, what you're calling the creative people, have turned out to be as powerful and persuasive an audience as the business types, because now they've got a way to describe to the more analytic people just what the heck it is that they're doing. And all of a sudden, it makes sense to both sides, and you get this great smashing together of heads in the room, and people are now communicating, and they're using pictures to do it.
No, I think it's great because you're breaking down that process, and I love the four steps of selling an idea. I think that's great. Dan, now you talk about the six W's,
yeah,
you know, throughout your book. Now, why is that so important? I mean, I've heard it before, I've seen it before, but let's talk about the six W's, and what are the six W's?
Okay, the six W's go back to our fifth grade English class. You know, if anybody ever, all of us who tried to, you know, get through English class, realized that in order to write our five paragraph essay, we had to make sure that we covered the who, what, why, where, and when. You know, sort of the five W's. I don't even know how many that was. I just decided. What was really interesting is as I started to do some research into the neurobiology of how we actually see, what is our visual thinking system? What is our visual system actually doing? I talked to neurobiologists. I read through texts on the biology of and the neurobiology of vision. I actually have a degree in biology, which proved to be almost of zero help because so much has changed since I got that degree. But the really remarkable thing is that as neurobiologists and vision scientists start, and we're just at the very beginning of this, but as we start to understand how vision actually works, one of the things that we know is that the visual stream, the stream of information coming into our eyes, which is going to be processed by our brain to create the pictures that we see, is a really constant stream of information. And in order for our brain to handle it and make sense of all the visual information streaming in, we break it down into a series of parallel paths. And here comes the breakthrough. You know what the neurobiologists call those various pathways? They call one of them the what pathway. They call another one the when pathway. They call another one the how pathway. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, wait a minute. The way our English teacher taught us to break down a problem when we were writing about it turns out to be almost exactly the same way our brain is hardwired to look at a problem and see its components. And so suddenly I thought, we don't need to know how to draw thousands of different kinds of pictures to draw out a summary of any idea. We only need to know how to draw six. We actually neurobiologically see the world in six ways. We need to only be able to draw one picture to align to each of those ways to visually represent anything that we can conceive of. And the six are as follows: who and what. That's actually one. The who and what, the physical objects in front of us. The how much. Item number three is the where. Where are they? Item number four is when. When do they happen? In what kind of sequence? Item number five is how do they happen? Sort of a flow chart of what causes what. And then the sixth one, kind of the mother of all slices, is the why, which combines all of the previous and allows us in our mind, both visually and cognitively, to answer the question, why am I seeing what I'm seeing, or why is this happening? Because we've combined everything else. And if you break a problem down into those six, who and what, how much, where, when, how, and why, you get six simple pictures that you can use to describe anything.
Fantastic. Dan, you've got a new book out, and I don't know how new it is, but I'm just discovering you, and I'm really enjoying the back of the napkin. But what about unfolding the napkin? Please tell us a little bit about that. What is that all about?
Unfolding the Napkin came out just around the first of the year, so it's just been out for 2.5-3 months, and it is the workbook. So think about it like this, Stephen. The back of the napkin, the original book, is kind of like the concept. Here's the idea. And what's powerful about it, at least that's what people have told me, is it really breaks through and says it's okay in business to draw again, something that many people wanted to do but never did because they thought it was taboo. All right, so that's what the back of the napkin's about.
Okay.
Response to that was, Dan, we really like this idea. We want to know more how exactly to do it. So then I wrote Unfolding the Napkin, which is the step-by-step guide that takes anybody over a four-day period, it's broken down into a four-day workshop, to go from saying, I can't draw, to at the end of those 4 days saying, look, Stephen, here's the picture I just drew that's going to save the world. And so Unfolding is it is a series of 72 self-guided exercises that take you from, you know, here's how to pick up a pencil all the way through here is now how to present to 700 people the picture that you've created and have them become convinced that you know what you're talking about. And I'm really proud of it. I think it's a great basis for a curriculum on how to think visually.
Well, you know, I've been in the business of coming up with ideas and selling ideas for the last 30 years, Dan, and I really like what you've done here, because it, even for someone like myself, it's hard to for me to define how I do this, but I'm using these tools for some of the projects I'm looking for now. And I've got a team of guys, and that's why I'm really enjoying this book, because it's actually helping me to create, to even sell my ideas a little bit better. So
that's perfect.
Yeah, so I would say this is a good book for anybody that, because we face it, we all have problems that we need to solve. I mean, we all don't want to be inventors or even care to, but we need to have that ability to look at things differently, to come up with some solutions, and basically communicate to other people what we're trying to do. And I love this.
Oh, excellent. Thank you, Stephen.
So anyway, Dan, thank you very much. We